Tonight's Big Brother Canada recap is sponsored by our friends over at the P-Touch Home by a Brother. Imagine your home or the Big Brother house, whatever, totally organized with the P-Touch Home Personal Label Maker. It's practical and useful. Home organization templates are attractive with durable labels that make it fun and easy to turn every room into a personalized, clutter-free haven. Coordinate your kitchen with a variety of fonts and frames. Label the perfect pantry. Add decorative labels to the laundry room. Tidy up your seasonal storage and use fun symbols and emoji to finally organize the kids' toys, books, and games. Even the tiniest family members will benefit from an organized space. And yes, the furriest family members too. Make the most of your time at home. Have fun and get organized with the P-Touch Home Personal Label Maker, only from Brother. For details, visit ptouchhomebybrother.com. Coming to you live from the ball pit, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to talk about the Kiefer Show. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Monday night here, talking about Big Brother Canada. We've got such a great panel to talk about it all with. Of course, welcome back the man who never gets a day off from Big Brother Canada. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you today?
I'm great. Excited to be here and talk about Kiefer's dramatic sorry not sorries.
Sorry not sorry from Kiefer. He's the HOH, doing what he wants. Going to talk about it all. Of course, I'm very excited to talk Big Brother Canada. I think for the first time since the draft, the voice of the people, Melissa Denny, is here. Everybody, Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. This is our first time talking since the draft. And so far, it has not gone really well for me, to be honest. And the Stockwatch hasn't gone great either. So really, I'm just struggling all around.
Okay. But look, we've had a fun season so far. So that's the good news, Melissa.
Yes, yes. It's been worth it. My suffering has been worth it. But yeah. I lost two people right in a row up from my draft. And, you know, that doesn't bode well.
All right. Look, you're still alive. Come on, Melissa.
Hanging in there by a thread.
Hanging in there. All right. I'm very excited to have here with us tonight the always exciting Jacob Jones is here. Jacob, how are you?
I am trucking along on this good Monday. I'm excited to keep it real with all of y'all tonight. So okay. Get ready.
Yes. Jacob, always keeping it real. I'm excited to have you here with us live tonight. My one night of the week to get to talk Big Brother Canada. And hopefully we'll have a lot of fun tonight. We'll talk about Wendy's orders and much more. And then we'll get some updates from what went on today in the Big Brother house. And this was a night where we got, a lot of the thinking behind Kiefer and his HOH and ultimately landing with Ro and Kyle up on the block. But I felt like that my favorite part of the episode was like I had one other favorite part of the episode, but I felt like that the beginning of the episode I thought was the most exciting stuff, Taryn. And I feel like this is 2 weeks in a row on a Monday night where the stuff that happened sort of like leading up to the eviction ceremony was some of the best stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you had the fact that it was a blindside. They don't really do a great job of editing the Thursday content into the Thursday show. And so it tends to be the best of the eviction stuff and the post-eviction stuff that we get on Monday. That's really good. And then if the nominations are pretty straightforward, then there's not a whole lot else to show. And that was kind of the case this week.
The one piece of information I was missing was, okay, so Beth admitted that she did say it would be a resume move for Vic to get out LaToya. She did say that. She copped to that. No pun intended. But did Beth ever say Ty should go on the block?
No, she didn't.
Vic was lying.
And for the record as well, while she said, yes, it will be a resume move, she was saying that because Vic had already said, I'm putting up LaToya, what do you think? And Beth was kind of like placating her and then went on to say, But you should put up Kyle. I think Kyle's a threat to your game. Kyle's dangerous. Kyle doesn't like you. Beth really went out of her way to be loyal to the Sunsetters last week when she didn't need to be. And so the overall sort of intent of this was definitely not the way that Victoria was trying to sell it. And even if it was even a little bit, I think the timing of it didn't work very well because she was literally, Beth was literally just on the other side of a blindside. Mm-hmm. What do you mean that she was right. The reason it happened?
Well, also, Victoria kept trying to say, like, well, you got what you wanted, Beth. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, no, I clearly didn't because I wasn't on the right side of the vote. I didn't know this was happening. Like, this is not what I wanted. Like, so the fact that she kept saying, well, Beth, I hope you're satisfied. Look what's happened. It's mm-hmm. It doesn't quite work. Like, it would only work if Beth was one of the few people that voted the way that the eviction turned out or something. But instead, it was like, it didn't add up. So like it clearly was Victoria trying to pin something on Beth when the pieces just didn't fit together.
Yeah. And I love that so much about Victoria. Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
why isn't Victoria more popular?
Oh, I have a love kind of with Victoria a little bit because I like Victoria as a personality and as a character in the game. And I love the alter ego, but not alter ego because it's her, Spicy V. But I feel like Victoria does a lot. Mm-hmm. And for me to watch, she's kind of like, she is all gold, but it's kind of like exhausting for me to like root for her. But I did love this moment, and I loved how in her confessional she owned at like, "Yo, Beth, I want to fight. Like, I want you to bring that rah rah energy that I'm looking for right now." And so I don't know why Victoria isn't getting isn't the most popular. I feel like she is in a lot of people's minds, but for me, she's hot, but she's not to that like. Is Spicy more than hot or is hot more than spicy?
Spicy's more than hot.
Spicy's more than hot.
Okay, yeah. But she's not spicy for me. She's just hot.
Yeah.
She's trying to be spicy.
She's trying to be spicy.
So I think she's super, she does a lot, which makes mm-hmm. for exciting TV and exciting things going on. And, you know, like you never really know what's going to happen. At the same time, it's hard for me to truly like love her as a player because I feel like it's not always very good. Like, it's not always mm-hmm. good for her game. So I feel like it's hard for me to be like, oh, yes, like, look at the chaos she's causing. Look at these good moves she's making because none of it's really good for her. It always ends up where she's on the short end of the stick, like, and she's not really doing well. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to get behind all those moves. Like, yes, I like it because it's entertaining and it gives us something to talk about and it, you know, causes chaos. But in terms of rooting for her as a player, it's very hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's tough for some people, especially because like I think that if she was a player who was like very self-interested and was like doing these things in a calculated way mm-hmm. for a strategic purpose, then I would think universally she'd be loved. And I think that she is very loved. I think that mm-hmm. she's one of the most popular players, if not the most popular player out there right now. But I do think that probably the one thing holding her back is that a lot of her motivation does seem to be kind of like get out LaToya so I can be with the guys. Or, you know, like she also has this sort of thing where she thinks that she's a lot better at the game.
That's fine.
A lot
That's
better
fine.
At the game than she actually mm-hmm. is, which is fun. Like these are fun things. But I think when it comes to like, you know, people that like everyone gets on board with, they would prefer like maybe a little more self-awareness, I think, mm-hmm. Is what, because it's harder to relate to somebody that doesn't have that level of self-awareness maybe. But she's probably one of my favorite people on the cast. Cause look, they're all terrible at the game.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, let's give it up for the person that's giving
give us
something at the very least.
We don't get any of the money. If, whoever wins, like, who's providing the most entertainment per day in the house. That's the only stat that matters.
True. True.
Come on.
And I loved also when, because when Victoria was talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to call Beth out after the eviction, I'm going to do it. And I was thinking maybe she was going to wait a few moments, you know, wait till, you know, some emotions soften up. But the fact that she went right in and still with her hands on her,
they were like, still hugging.
Beth, what's up? Yeah. If you sis, I was cackling. Yeah. It was so
funny. Wouldn't be surprised if the door hadn't shut yet of Toya leaving.
It was so funny. And especially because Beth wasn't taking the bait. And it was just like, oh, well, Beth, you got a lot of explaining to do. This is all your fault. It was her HOH.
Yeah, Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I loved it.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was
well played by Beth. Yeah. I mean, it was a terrible approach. Like, I can't imagine a scenario where this works for Victoria. But Beth played it about as well as she could have in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel like I would be that calm and just like, yeah, well, whatever. Like I certainly would have taken the bait. Yeah. Not good.
Mm-hmm. And I also think something that worked for Beth's Beth's argument was that like LaToya gave hugs to specific people as she was leaving. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, gave it to Beth. And so I feel like that kind of aided in like Ty's and Jed's like, okay, Beth, like, okay, you are with us. Even though I kind of had some doubts when she initially said this, I think that hug kind of added to the, okay, you're with us even more.
Yeah.
I mean, like, was Victoria trying to pretend that Beth voted LaToya out? Like, I feel like I don't know how she was planning for this to like, Even if, you know, Beth says, oh, yeah, well, it's a resume builder. If she's truly trying to get LaToya out or get Jed out or get Ty out or whoever she was trying to blame it on, like, she would have at least voted that person out when they're sitting there on the block. It doesn't add up. It's like just saying, yeah, it's a resume builder because it is, you know, just because you say that doesn't mean anything. If you're not involved the rest of the time, like just putting a spark of an idea in someone's head, that's not carrying through with the plan. I don't understand it.
It was in the same vein as the reason that she was threatening Ty to go on the, like, well, I would have put somebody like Kyle on the block as the renominee, mm-hmm. but then you said that I was smart. So it's, no. If you think about it, your fault. If she's kind of trying to do the same thing, but with Beth, well, we were all set to vote for Kiefer to go. And then Beth just said, oh, it's a resume builder. And it was like, what? Oh, well, now we have to vote Toya out. Thanks a lot, Beth.
You're like, darn. Thanks, Beth.
She like, wouldn't have said anything. It would have been fine.
Victoria, she kept her mouth shut.
Victoria has to know that she's like on an island because...
Like Kiefer.
I feel like to really push, and like Kiefer, you know, literally and figuratively. But to really push a point, you need people to like have your back and to like, you know, ride the boat with you and be like, yeah, Beth, you know. And so even if she had one more voice that was aiding in that Beth projection, I feel like it would have helped her. But since she's on an island by herself and you really, you know, no one has her back like that, it kind of left her out there.
Mm-hmm. So we end up with this very interesting scenario after Kiefer wins the HOH, where the people who voted to evict him are his allies. Taryn, I can never remember a scenario like this before.
I mean, it's not that weird, right? Like when you have, especially when there's a split house, you know, the alliance is going to vote for somebody, right? They're going to choose somebody. And Kiefer was okay with the fact that they had chose Toya. Toya is obviously a stronger player than him in the game when it comes to just like her force of personality, her physicality. And she was even closer with the guys than he was. And so he kind of accepted that. He recognized that, like, look, I get it. I'm at the bottom of the list here. But he also recognizes to a degree that he doesn't really have any other options. And that's, I think, the key here. And he mentions it in the diary room because all episode long, Kyle is going to be on about, like, I can't, the three people voted him out and we voted for him to stay and he's going there. But it's like Kyle and Roe. When did they talk to Kiefer? Mm-hmm. Never. The only time they talked to him is when they interrogated him in the pantry. Mm-hmm. And they think that just by being like, all right, Kiefer, wink, wink, we're going to keep you in the game this week, but not talk to you at all. then that means that all of a sudden Kiefer's going to be loyal to that. He has no relationship there. They have anti-relationship. Why would he ever go in that direction?
Not anti-relationship.
Well, plus, I mean, Kiefer was playing like the woe is me game all week because he had been told, like, you're not the target, but I'm going to tell everyone that you're the target. So basically he was telling his whole alliance, you know, I'm the target, I'm the target. And everyone else was saying the same thing. So obviously they're like, well, we're not going to go against the grain. We're going to keep LaToya. It all makes sense. And so he wouldn't be upset if they just kind of went along with what he was saying was going to happen all week. It's like, it's a different situation. I mean, I was thinking this throughout the episode, like, normally I'd be like, those people all voted you out. Like, you can't trust them. You have to go somewhere else. But it just, it's a weird situation when both your alliance members are on the block and you're telling everyone, I'm going home. You know, I'm the target, and everyone is kind of in agreement on that. Oh, whoops. No, I'm still going to be here. And then it kind of changes things.
If they really wanted to turn Kiefer against his allies, they need to do what Kiefer is doing this week to some degree, and just be a little bit more upfront. There was no reason for this to be a blindside. If Vic and Kyle and Roe, if they had all just said, look, Toya's the target, Kiefer is the pawn, Ty, Jed, and Beth still would have campaigned for Toya. They would have been pushing Austin and Brayden. They would have been pushing, Tina and Toya. They would have been, or Tina and Tara. They would have been trying to flip a couple of extra votes in order for Toya to stay. And that would have been a lot more hurtful to Kiefer, that this was the plan and they were actively trying to flip other people to make something else happen. By doing this blindside, and then also, you know, the other side could have been talking to Kiefer all week long, building a relationship instead of interrogating him and not talking to him and forcing him to just hang out with the people that were voting him out that week. Then that could have done something. But instead, they just isolated Kiefer more and blindsided people unnecessarily.
Was Kiefer really playing it up last week in terms of like being sad? Like when we saw him on last week's show on Monday night, when he said that, oh, I think I should just, you know, throw myself at the mercy of Vic. Like, was that part of the plan all along?
I think that Kiefer was genuinely upset, genuinely was like, I'll go up on the block. I'll take one for the team. But then like after a day or two, he got over it and he was like, I got to keep playing this up though, because if I want things to stay, if I want to stay, then things need to stay the same. And that means that they can't find out that I'm staying.
I also think he was genuinely upset after Jed gave his piss poor POV speech, basically saying, I hope people stick to what they were. And I'm sorry, Keith, you got to go. When he should have just closed the box and not said a damn word. So I also think like his heart was probably like, damn, man, like that sucks. Like I feel close to these guys and I feel like that affected him. Even though he knew that he was safe, I still feel like that kind of played a part of his emotions that week as well.
Okay, so Kiefer is the new HOH. He's going to make that deal with Austin as they are waiting in the tiebreaker circle. Keep that in mind that they're working on trying to get something going. We're going to see Kiefer's HOH room. And, you know, like Kiefer that he's got like the he could do like very serious emotional notes that he gets. We could see his family and Melissa, big news in Kiefer's world that his sister announces it's a girl. It's a golden retriever.
A girl dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how he basically got everyone in the house to be like, oh my God. And then the second they said golden retriever, they're like, oh, wait, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not a baby.
Yes.
But you know, a dog's very exciting too.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I've never seen the gender reveal party for a dog, but I guess we had our first one ever here for Big Brother Canada.
On TV.
Congratulations to Kiefer's sister. All right, so... Roe and Kyle are realizing that they are going to be in trouble. Jacob, what do you make of this duo, Roe and Kyle?
I So preseason, I was really hardcore, like a Roe fan. Like his interviews, I was like, yo, this is my guy, a chaotic king, evil king. Like he's going to own it. And he has, in my opinion, like fell kind of flat to that bravado, I think is the word, that he kind of gave off. And so the pair, I don't really like them. I don't really care for them. Honestly, if I had to pick a bro pairing, I'm picking Jai and Ted 10 out of 10. I mean, at least they get in like the bath and they'll have their bro time. And so Kyle and Ro, though, they don't really give me much. And I do enjoy their like strategy conversations a lot more than I do like kind of other people's. I feel like in a sense they have a slightly better perspective. I say it very loosely on the lay of the land in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
But I'm not a hardcore Ro Kyle fanatic.
Jacob, I need to know, did you say Jai and Ted on purpose?
I know. I was wondering. I was like, "Is that the name? Is that what you were calling them?"
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. And I wanted to know if you said bravado on purpose.
Wait, no.
What's going on here?
Yeah,
I have no idea. I'm stumped.
I honestly thought you were trying to give like their like romance names or whatever, their pairing name by saying Jai and Ted, and I was like, okay.
Jai and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh wow,
Jai and Ted.
Yeah,
it just slipped out.
Yeah. Melissa, maybe is that part of the problem here for Ro and Kyle in that they are far and away the inferior bromance in the house?
Yeah.
Are they a romance?
I don't know if they're a romance, but, you know, I honestly, like, I don't mind them. I'm not totally excited by them. Like, I feel like I don't really get a lot from them, so I'm not super invested in if they stay or not. However, you know, I originally liked Jai and Ted much better until I realized that they were kind of really bad. I don't know. I just feel like I wasn't aware of how bad they were at this game until more recently. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been disappointing since I was really excited. You know, I think when they were paired with LaToya, she really carried them strategy wise because at this point they're floundering and it's frustrating to see them. And this has been talked about in the morning updates, but to basically see them not really care at all about Kiefer and when he's literally the only reason that they're safe this week. And I think part of the problem is that they thought that they were, you know, making headway with Kyle and Ro as like a, okay, we're going to have this, you know, pact or this truce or whatever between us. So that's why they're like, well, we don't really care about like getting Kyle or Ro out, and Kyle and Ro won't get us out. So let's aim for Austin or whoever. And, you know, it's frustrating to see that because when Kiefer won, I was like excited because I was like, and I saw them hug and I was like, oh my God, this is so, it's so great to see, you know, these two strong guys working with, you know, someone like Kiefer, who you don't normally see them all pair up together. And I thought, wow, they're really a good threesome. And then with Beth, you know, a good foursome, like everything is great. And I was very upset, you know, to see that that really wasn't the case. And they didn't see themselves as like a strong group to move forward with. It was kind of like, okay, yeah, well, we don't really need Kiefer, but, you know, he won. So let's try and get him to do our bidding is essentially kind of what the vibe I was getting, which is, you know, not ideal because their bidding is wrong. They need to be going after Kyle and Ro. Like, that's what they need to do this week. I don't see why they think there's another option for them.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that they don't care about Kiefer like as a person, but they don't really care about what he wants to do in the game. Basically.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's like strategy wise, they're kind of just like, he doesn't really know. Like, we're in charge, and I didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, the next scene that we get in the episode is when Ro and Kyle are pitching to Jed and Ty. But Taryn, it seemed like that at least we're seeing Jed in the diary room saying that they're not really buying any of this, potentially working with them.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird cut there because it does not seem like it really represented the reality of the time, which was that that they were working pretty hard to try and get, as we saw a little bit later in the episode, working pretty hard to try and get Austin or Vic up on the block and potentially out of the game. They were not really intending for Kyle or Ro to be the target.
Okay. It was an interesting conversation, though, to see the two pairs talking about it, Jacob. That it's interesting because I think everybody's so afraid of these four coming together. But in this season, with these four, like, are they really going to run the table?
I see potential for it to happen if they get their like crap together, honestly. But I don't see the trust being there on like either side, like 1,000%. And I, you know, feel like as Taryn says, like the, Jed and Ty were trying, you know, trying to work for Austin to, you know, be up on the block, and they kind of wanted to go with the bros in a sense and have like conversation with the bros.
Yeah.
And so I think if they do come together, but if this is also a weird thing for me. Everyone, and they pointed out in the episode, everyone has a pair. And in my mind, yes. I feel as though in some Big Brother season, some people are trying to like hide like who they're close to or who their number one is. But in this season, everyone is out there with everything. And I get so perplexed by the idea of, as we saw last week, how it, Jed won, you know, the POV, and then Victoria knew who his, you know, who he would not want to go on the block, and it was Ty. And I just feel as though, why aren't these people trying to hide? Okay, I'm, you know, this is my number two. This is my final two. Why aren't they trying to hide that more? And so when four people come together, like, I'm just like, are y'all just going to, you know, show, oh, you know, we're a foursome. And Beth and Ty and Jed have their threesome going on. And it's like, what is with this outward play of relationships?
Well, let's talk about this, because this is very interesting, because I feel like that this is set up like a little bit more like you would see in a Survivor season, like especially like after the merge, and specifically like we've talked so much about on Survivor with the voting blocks. You have Taryn, Tina, Kyle and Ro, and Jed and Ty, and Austin and Brayden, and then Kiefer, who's sort of by himself. You have Vic, who's by herself, and then Beth, you tack her on to what's going on with Jed and Ty. Taryn, have we had any precedent to have a Big Brother season that's structured this way?
I mean,
with obvious duos?
The classic Split House season 6 had secret duos. Became very quickly obvious duos. And so I think that perhaps there is something about duos that tends to lead toward split houses. Maybe it's because loyalty is so locked in with at least one other person that people are less fluid in terms of being able to move around. And so because your loyalty is so out there, it's harder for the sort of under the covers kind of game.
Whoa.
To work, unless you're the thruple. I think there's something about pairs that can lead toward split houses, and that's definitely what's happening here. Part of it is that the players, again, they're not like the most advanced skill level kinds of players, and so when they have a buddy in the house, they are just like, hey, buddy. And then if they're not with their buddy, they're like, where's my buddy? Tara, where are you? We're TNT. If I'm by myself, I'm just T. What's that? Nothing. I need my other T.
Does anybody talk to Tara other than Tina? Does she have anybody else?
Tara talks to other people.
They don't talk back to her.
I mean, they do talk back, but it's definitely more of Tara talking to them.
Because we don't really get that so much on the show. Nobody likes her.
She's not the most well liked person. She's she has a personality.
What does she do? I feel like you're being coy with me. She gets on people's nerves.
She just talks a lot. She just has a lot to say. She likes to talk to people. She likes to tell people that she's coming after them sometimes. She likes to talk about who she wants to go after. She likes to reveal information.
I mean, you kind of saw that a little bit on the episode where she's like, oh, well, I think the names that he's saying aren't really his targets. And they're like, what names? And Tina's like, there were no names said. I just said there were no names said. So there were no names said. And it's like, ugh.
Okay.
And I think Tara, she talks to a lot of people, but I like hear in her conversation with Tina, and I feel like she doesn't like that many people as well. And so it's kind of like that, and like not many people like me, but I'm like, you know, I feel like Tara is a wannabe social person, extroverted person, but she doesn't like click with these people, and she doesn't really like these people. We see her, you know, like drag the other house guests to Tina often. So I always like that parallel. Like Tara's trying to, you know, forge relationships, but the people are like, no. But then when she gets back with Tina, she's like, yo, they're such a D-bag. Like, did you hear what they said? So it's like all that type of relationships.
So we see Kiefer then have a conversation with them about wanting to work with them. And Kiefer also gets in there and talks about like, you know, it's not that fun to hang out with the young people. I don't want you to go anywhere. Would Kiefer be better off being more committed to Tara and Tina than to the thruple?
Yes. 1,000% yes. That is the place where he should be. And I was actually very disappointed in this episode, seeing him in the diary room saying, the Sunsetters are my people. I'm loyal to the soil. It's too late to start anywhere else, because I know that he is playing the field. But I've gotten the sense this week that he is most loyal to Ty, Jed, and Beth. And I've been hoping that, like, in the diary room, he'll tell me, I know I'm at the bottom of their list. I know that they will beat me in the end game competitions. I know that they will beat me in the end. And so I'm going to make sure I have other options to jump ship at some point. But instead, we're hearing kind of what I was dreading, which is that it does seem like he's loyal to the soil.
But
he's
why?
In with the Sunsetters.
I was also wondering, like, what does that not include Tina then?
He does like say that he considers Tina to be a Sunsetter.
Mm-hmm. Right. So couldn't it possibly be like he considers that like an offshoot of the Sunsetters? And so maybe, I don't know that. Yeah, like I didn't totally think of it as like he's saying no to Tina and Tara.
I think in the order of things, it's Sunsetters, Jed, Ty, Beth. Then it's half Sunsetter, Tina. Then it's this alliance that he calls the pre-90s that includes Tara. And then it's like, you know, maybe, you know, Vic is in there as somebody that he thinks he can use. There's, you know, the other relationships that he has. But, you know, it's, I think that the priority is the thruple followed by Tina Tara.
Yeah, nobody has ever said before the priority is the thruple that is not a member of the thruple.
The thruple.
Nobody has ever said those three people are kind of hooking up, and I'm hanging with them.
He wants love to blossom and then blossom again.
I want to be around that as much as possible.
I'm with those guys.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yes. I'm the plus one.
Let's turn this into a foursome.
Yeah. Pre-90s, that's the official working name of that group, Taryn?
Yes, that's Kiefer, Tina, and Tara. Kiefer came up with it because they are the only people left in the house that were born pre-1990.
Yeah, that's an awful alliance name.
Yeah.
I actually like it.
You TBH. Like it?
TBH, I do. I think it's creative. It's something like the pre-90s. I mean, probably because I was born in 97. And so that like seems like, you know, so long ago, but it seems like yesterday. Yes. I'm imagining it yesterday, but I like the name.
This is just
groovy.
A flex to say I'm so young. Is that like, you went this far for that, basically, Jacob? That,
yeah,
basically. Because I was born.
I mean, that
I know
Jonah
nothing
Hill movie,
about it.
The Jonah Hill movie was mid-90s.
Yeah, that's what I keep always. Accidentally yeah. saying when I'm like referring to them, I'm like, oh, mid-90s. And it's like, wait, no, not that. Pre-90.
Yeah. All right.
It's the prequel to mid-90s.
Well, so we saw Kiefer also meet up with Vic. I thought this was a good conversation there where he's telling her, like, look, like, I'm not coming after you, but like, I got to make it look like I'm coming after you. Mm-hmm. And she seemed like she got it.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think that it makes sense for him not to come after her this week. She is one of the few people who aren't in a pair. She isn't in a pair. So it just, and also like the people who, you know, the oddballs or whatever, that doesn't seem to be a super strong thing. I mean, we said it last week on the roundtable that we weren't really sure if that was going to stick around. So, you know, I do think that he's making the right decision by not immediately targeting her. And plus, like, it kind of, it builds, you know, a rapport with her, especially because, you know, she came after him, but he's not taking it. He's not immediately turning it around and going after her and kind of being like, look, like, I'm not going to do it to you this week. You know, you didn't get me out last week. I'm not going to get you out this week. Like, let's kind of build like a truce and maybe they can work from there. Because at this point, Kiefer and Victoria are one of the few people who aren't in pairs. So they really shouldn't be going after each other and doing the pair's dirty work.
Yeah. Well, Victoria's
I also agree. I also really like that. I think something that I really like out of Victoria's HOH last week, and I believe it was a saving grace for her with Kiefer winning, was her cluing in Kiefer throughout the week of saying like who her target actually was and being kind of low key about it, even though it was risky and, you know, Kiefer, you know, easily flipped the script and, you know, everything could happen. But I also think that was like a saving grace in an area where they can build trust. But I think Victoria's like such, like, I don't think he like outright trusts, you know, Victoria, but I do think that was a saving grace for Victoria this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to move on. So if you have anything else,
we can move on. Yeah.
We got a thruple segment, everybody.
Yay.
We got our thruple segment. Is this the first time that we're officially talking about the thruple on the show?
I feel like we got hints of it before.
Hints. Yeah, we got hints of
hints.
It.
Yeah. We're here.
Yeah.
We're here. Jed and Ty, where this is cool. We have a crush on the same girl, they tell us. It's happening. Okay. And so we see that I believe it was Jed was leaving the thruple to go make a snack. And we got a new hand signal for the thruple. Isosceles triangle. Listen.
Something weird.
Beth. Why does it have to be an isosceles triangle? Why does it have to be a triangle where one side is longer than the other, Beth? Why can't it be an equilateral triangle? Why can't it be a triangle where all the sides are the same, Beth?
It doesn't need to be
an isosceles triangle.
Yeah, just make it all equal.
It was fine.
I mean, she said on the feeds that, you know, it's, yeah, you know.
It was fine, Beth. We didn't need to get into algebra.
We didn't need to get into,
which point is longer than the other.
Yeah, which side is X and which side is Y, Beth? Come on. Is isosceles, are they talking about that in the house, isosceles? Is that a thing, or is this one conversation?
The specifically isosceles, yes, or just the triangle itself?
Specifically isosceles. Are they trying to make that a thing?
Are you using that word exactly?
Yes,
or are you euphemized?
No. That's over.
Is that a euphemism?
That's over.
Y'all like the thruple segment? I thought it was a highlight for me watching.
For sure.
You know, and I think this whole season perplexes me, but this also perplexes me because it's like Beth feels like, and in a sense, she's like playing these two dudes, but they know what she's doing. So is it an actual placation of the situation? I don't know. Or is it, oh, Beth is like, oh, let me, you know, and the guys are like, and it's like, I don't know, because they know the game that she's running. So is she actually running the game?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Is it actually strategy? Because does it, if they all know that you're doing it, then is there actual strategy to it? Like, what is the outcome then?
Is there a method to the madness here?
It's Beth likes them both. They both like her. They both like each other. Mm-hmm. And they're just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but like,
is that simple?
That's fine, but where's the strategy in it? And if there's no strategy in it,
I don't think there is strategy. I think it's anti-strategy.
When Beth started this off,
hints to her, yeah.
Yeah, when Beth, because I was thinking when Beth started this, you know, the situation, oh, you know, I'm going to get this guy, then get this one. I was thinking that she was like when it comes to the end, say, you know, they get to that point, oh, I'm going to get Jed to choose me over Ty, or Ty to choose me over Jed. Mm-hmm. But that situation isn't happening.
No.
Right. And she's just like cool with it.
The ultimate upside of the season is that's the final three. Beth wins final HOH. I mean, that's our bachelorette
she
moment.
Has to choose.
Let me tell you where Beth's strategy ends. It ends once they hit jury, because she feels like once we hit jury, It's just gravy from there. I mean, we get to the jury house. Oh, you know God. What I mean? She's basically said that, right?
I like it.
Hopefully the right people get into the jury house together and we'll have a lot of fun. So I don't think that she is necessarily thinking about Endgame at this moment.
Yeah.
And if Big Brother Canada wants another sponsor, I'm sure OnlyFans would be very willing to take that into consideration.
Well, take that into the jury house.
But is Beth calculated in that, like, oh, this is going to be great TV? Is she thinking along those lines, or are any of them thinking about this? Like, this has never happened before on a reality TV show.
They are thinking along those lines. They've talked about, like, I hope this is good. They're also like, I hope it's not bad. Like, I hope it's not like Beth is playing them both, or we're both playing her, or like, I hope it's not being portrayed in a weird way. Because we are just kind of all chilling and having fun.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird situation to me. Like, if they're all cool with it, that's fine. But yeah. I can tell you, I would absolutely not be cool with it.
Well,
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, probably most people wouldn't be. But that's what's unique. I mean, we are.
But it would spice up your life, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just. That is spicy true. But, three. You know, I honestly just feel like.
It's true.
I was like, excited about the idea of it. Because I thought Beth was, like, doing this on purpose. Like, I thought it was, like, not just like for fun, but that it was like part of her strategy. And I feel like I'm losing any sort of faith that that's the case. I mean, there have been moments where like one of them leaves the room and then she's like, oh, boys are so easy. Or like, you know, things like that. She'll like say something, but it's like, boys are so easy in what way? Like in the way that you're like manipulating them for Big Brother, or boys are so easy in the fact that like, you just are flirting with them and it's fun. But like, I don't know.
What is she manipulating? Are they everybody knows where everybody stands. I mean, is there any manipulation here?
Well, I feel like I think that the initial manipulation, in my opinion, was like, I'm going to get super close to both of them individually. And like, we're all in an alliance, but I'm going to have like the relationship with each of them. And that, you know, showmances are always super tight. And I thought that she was thinking in that mindset of like, I'm going to get these boys to do my bidding. And like, I'm going to be the closest one to each of them. And I'm not really seeing that.
I mean, so I think that from Beth's perspective, she was into Ty more than Jed, but she liked them both. And Jed was flirty and casual, and she was kind of getting close to Ty, but she was still open to Jed. And then the thing with Ty has kind of cooled down a little bit. He's kind of expressed her, like, he is really not down for anything serious. He kind of has somebody at home that he's not really with, but he kind of sees as somebody that he probably will be with. And so I think now she's kind of leaning more into the Jed side of things, where it's like, all right, let's have some fun over here. But she's still open to hanging out with Ty at any point. So I think that's kind of the trajectory of where it's gone.
Look, we are 21 years into this reality TV experiment. We don't get something new every day. Let's all appreciate this.
I love it. Throw a pool of pudding in there, let them wrestle, and we're good. You know?
Why does it always have to be a pool with you?
Sorry. That didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah. A pool. Nobody wanted a pool pudding.
If they're all happy with it, then that's totally fine. But like, I personally, I don't get invested in it. Like, I don't really care. So it doesn't really
I'm invested.
Do anything for me. It is interesting. Watching it on the show, or
you know, showmances are always like the bit, like, even though many super fans are like, oh, showmances are boring and whatever, the reality is that showmances are like the kingmakers when it comes to popularity and social media engagement and like how much money that you make off the show and social media and all that kind of stuff. I'll be very curious to see what the thruple does. I would love to see the analysis on does thruple status supersede
Tarek,
showman.
They all get
status.
An apartment after the show. They are the biggest reality TV trio in history.
That's what I mean. Or is the lack of like classic romance going to be a turnoff for the casual?
No.
I don't know.
No. Come on.
No, we're in 2021.
Yeah.
You know, that type of romance is played out. We need the thruple action.
Have you listened to any showman stands?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I get where you're coming from now.
All right. All right. Wendy's time. All right. Tina gets to go to Wendy's. Melissa, we haven't heard you weigh in on Wendy's yet this season. What'd you think? Okay. Tina is going to go with the chicken sandwich. Kiefer is going to go with Dave's double. I saw a salad also for Kiefer. You know, that add that to the list. What'd you think, Melissa?
Didn't he say something about saving for the shake or something?
Everybody, you get a Frosty, I think. You just get that automatically.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what I would want to go for.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's more my order. It's just like, you know, Frosty, you've got fries, dip in.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tina was eating those fries, and I was just like, man, fries.
Yeah.
I could go for a Wendy's right now.
Taryn, if I could make a request for next week, if they could have the strategy discussion when they get up to the Frosty, I think I would prefer that rather than eating the fries during the strategy talk.
You want the, like, the empty straw? No. Ah, yeah. We got to stick to the Sunsetters. Oh, great Frosty.
Yeah. It does seem like that. Do you think that do they force a strat? Like, hey, make sure you talk some game in when you have Wendy's so we can use this.
For sure.
Yeah.
They must. Yeah, they have to. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that doing it with the Frosty could be kind of good because then you're kind of like stirring it and you're like, well, I was just thinking. You know, like it's kind of like mysterious and evil.
That is.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah,
the eating a burger while talking strategy, not so much.
Not so much. Jacob, any thoughts on the Wendy's of it all?
I probably lean more towards a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Beef kind of messes up my stomach every now and then. Oh. But I was pretty. I like a lot of sauce, and I kept seeing Tina get the long fry and without dipping it in ketchup or without even getting the mayonnaise or any sauce
amateur
that
hour.
Flew out from the burger. I'm from the chicken sandwich. I was like, it doesn't matter how much sea salt Wendy's likes to advertise himself in the fries that it be. I still need a ketchup to go in there and it just to add a nice little to my fry. That's the only acid that was like, really, Tina?
You're wrong.
Taryn, you're anti-ketchup?
So the plain fry. That's all you need.
No, I'm sorry.
The fries is wonderful by itself. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put, you don't put ketchup on an angel, right? It's just perfect as is.
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. It depends on who you're talking to, though.
Yeah. But Taryn is so on brand. Plain yogurt, plain fries.
No, Rob, do you dip it?
Of course you put a fry in ketchup.
Interesting. I'm more of a plain.
Oh, my.
I got to say.
So boring.
Well, it depends. It has to be perfectly seasoned. I mean, it has to have the salt on it. You can't have like In-N-Out fries. No, like they're not seasoned enough. You got to do something with those animal style for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. I do have the order for if Beth, Jed, and Ty get to Wendy's. Got to go with Dave's triple at that point. That's the move.
You have to do it.
That'd be an interesting call for Beth if she gets HOH. Who's she going to take to Wendy's?
That would be.
Yes. Okay. Kiefer got a video from his girlfriend, Jericho. She says, see you later, not see you soon, Kiefer. See you later. Got it?
Wow, so poignant.
Yeah, don't come home soon. All right.
And nobody's going to accuse her of jinxing it, right?
Yeah, no. So we saw Kiefer. I'm like, what is this segment going on? It's like Kiefer is like home alone, like Kevin McAllister walking through the house. Listen, he finds a new room, Expedia room.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to ham this one up. And he's just like slipping and sliding. He's like, it's like, I just imagine like some cartoon.
What
it's
was the just, point of any of this?
Yeah. I was watching
I
this.
Wish I could tell you.
I was watching this. I was like, does the show only audience even know what he's doing right now? Like, they don't know the layout of the house. They don't know what rooms are what rooms. Like, they're not going to know that this is a new room. They're just going to see Kiefer all of a sudden go, what Kiefer?
Like, something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Jacob, that there's no power in this room or anything. No, it's just like, there's a map.
Wasn't one.
It's a room with a map of Canada.
I mean, it definitely wasn't one under that pillow that Kiefer threw over. And so, you know, I was like, what's the point of this whole montage right here? But I thought it was very funny, very funny.
Yeah, he was like, don't worry. I thoroughly checked the room. It's nothing's here. Like, yeah, I flipped over a pillow.
I feel like they could have waited to show this segment to when like the room is actually going to mean something to anybody. But like, I don't know. It just seems odd that they would. I mean, obviously, this means that probably something's going to happen with it. The fact that they felt like the need to introduce it in an episode shows that it's not just a empty room forever.
What could happen?
There's going to be something.
This is here because they said Expedia. Oh, guys, the Expedia. Oh, look at the countries. Oh, this is where I live. It's Expedia. Mm-hmm. So the Expedia room opened. Yeah. So guys, it's Expedia.
With all due respect to Expedia, is this the moment to be really trying to advertise travel destinations?
They're getting ahead of it, Rob.
Like, not yet. True. But don't forget about it.
That's not quite
that
yet.
That is small. Level thinking, Rob, to say, oh, nobody's traveling. Why would you? No, this is an opportunity. No other company is thinking about this. Nobody else is advertising traveling. So Expedia is going to come in, fill that void. And when everyone does start traveling, the only name on their minds,
Expedia. Or how about this? Hi, we're the folks over at Expedia, and in these unparalleled times, you may not be able to travel, but you can virtually travel by making a room of your home with a map so you can see the sights of Canada anytime you want over at Expedia. So you can do the Expedia room in your home virtually.
We've gotten into home renovation.
Yeah.
We've partnered with The Brick.
Yes. All right. So we get all of a sudden the thruple is talking about maybe Austin should go up on the block. We forgot all about Austin, Jacob, but now all of a sudden she comes out of nowhere. Maybe she should go up on the block.
I didn't think this was like the worst idea for the thruple gang, because I think Austin is honestly underrated. Is an underrated player in the eye. Well, I guess because some are on her now, some eyes are on her, but I feel like she's in a really good position in the house with the lay of the land. She has Brayden, and Brayden, I feel like, is in the best position in the house with everyone likes him. And so I didn't think this was too off for them to target Austin, because they're still trying to keep the front of like, oh, you know, we need to keep the bros in, and the bros can target the floaters and whatnot. And so I didn't think that was that far off of them targeting Austin.
Yeah. As somebody who, you know, is tracking the show very closely, we had that one episode, I think it was the first Monday night of the season, Austin, it was her HOH, she was everywhere, mastermind. I think this is the first time Austin's been on the show since then.
Yes, I do believe that in the recap for that episode, I said this is an entirely fabricated storyline. Mm-hmm. And so I think how it's played out may have proven that to be correct.
Sure.
But yes, I think that the main thing here is that she has won an HOH. The next HOH she plays in, she's in second place. So not only is she somebody who's just chilling right now, not really doing much, not really having any relationships with the thruples, and very clearly like hates Beth. Like anytime Beth comes around, she was like, stay away.
Why? Why? Why does she hate Beth?
Rob, don't ask questions like that. Austin likes her people. Beth is not one of those people anymore.
Okay.
So she's not into Beth anymore. And so she's against the thruple. She's capable of winning competitions. And the thruple feels like they can trust Kyle and Roe. Now they can't, but at the very least, the competitions have played out in such a way that it's made it clear that Austin is actually a bigger threat than those two in terms of winning a competition and coming after them. So
yeah,
it's not a terrible idea for them to take a shot at Austin, but they do also need to take a shot at Kyle and Roe, because they are also coming for the guys.
Okay. Ty is going to work on Kiefer and say Austin is a threat. And Melissa, we get apparently what it looks like Austin monologuing in the ball pit. She's going on and on and on. And we pull back and Kyle is underneath the balls.
Yeah, very, very good. Very unexpected. I feel like it made me think about how so many people have like strategy conversations while in the ball pit. I think that would be so dangerous to have a strategy conversation in the ball pit, because you could absolutely be hiding in the ball pit.
Somebody
listening to
is at the bottom of the ball pit. Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I know people talked about this idea that like somebody might hide in the ball pit and overhear something. I feel like it's more of a funny thought than a reality though. Like those balls are so noisy. Like if you shift at all,
if you're quiet, I don't know. If you're sitting there quiet, like, and you've been there for a while and you just don't move, I don't know. You could hear some good stuff.
What if you were at the bottom of the ball pit? You lay completely flat and still, and then if you get caught, you're like, "Oh, I was sleeping. I fell asleep."
I'm sorry. I was just napping. When did you guys come in here?
I was trying to be like Josh. I was trying to take a nap in here. I guess it's possible.
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I feel like I would
step on though.
Yeah. You go on the side. You go all the way to the side. You don't have to be right in the middle.
The sides are the most popular areas, Rob.
Yeah. They check all the bathrooms because, you know, people had overheard people when they're in the HOH bathroom or someone's in the HOH bathroom and they hear people in the HOH. I would go in the ball pit and just like sweep the place. I'd just go the whole way around with my arms out, you know, sure there's nobody in there, you know, before I say a word. It's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But also if you are at the bottom of the ball pit, I don't know how, you know, medicine and medical things work or infections work, but couldn't a pink eye be in your future? With having all like the, I feel like people walk in there with their feet.
I feel like
feet.
You keep bringing this up, Jacob, and because I feel like you're not the right person to carry this message.
Listen. It's quite frankly disgusting. When I think about the ball pit, all I smell is feet and funk. And I'm not seeing a sensible person sinking their bodies, you know, all the way down. And it doesn't seem hot. You know, I don't know how hot the room is or how steamy the room is, but I imagine that the balls could accumulate some sweat.
Are you like touching the ball to your eye? Are you imagining people like holding their eyeballs open?
No, but
open,
like, say a ball falls in your eye. You know,
a ball falls in your eye.
Like, yeah. like a ball. Like,
if you're laying in the balls,
in the balls, you know,
serious talks in the balls.
Without context, this conversation seems very wild.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, so maybe you do have a good point. Maybe that they should make sure that the temperature control is, it should be ice cold in the ball pit.
It is a little chilly in there.
Yeah. Okay. Keep it cool. You don't need any undue perspiration there in the ball pit.
But they do also like to like jump around and like play with the balls. So,
you could get sweaty in there.
Yeah,
I mean, work up.
Yeah. it's not hot.
Yeah,
I feel like I hate doing
some curling.
But Melissa, they're getting so much mileage out of the ball pit. Whoever on the production team came up with this idea, it's like they've had segment after segment after segment. It's been like Expedia room, total bust. Nothing to do with it.
The ball pit
has delivered nonstop gold.
It's something to do. It's something to play with, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taryn, what's next season's ball pit? Is the ball pit a fixture? Does it come back every season?
Maybe. Maybe the HOH room can just be a big ball pit. And then you just have like a bed with like really tall legs.
Okay.
Like a raised bed at
the top of the ball pit.
We don't want to go with Jacob's pool of pudding for the have-nots next season.
No, that sounds...
I just really worry about what Jacob does in the pool of pudding. It's my problem.
It's a pool. But wait, another idea that I had was, what about...
Yes?
I don't know why I'm whispering.
This is going to be a wild idea.
No, it's actually like super fun. So they have the sunken ground where the balls are, right?
Okay.
What if they put a trampoline for next season?
That is a liability and a half.
Let me take my deep
Legal
whisper away
never.
Now.
My mind went immediately to the same place as the lawyer's mind.
that is legally never occurring. You will not see a trampoline.
All right. Well, let's get to Kiefer's nominations. We're going to see a conversation with Roe and Kiefer. And then Jacob, that I think that Roe and Kiefer say the words pantry situation about 9 times. Mm-hmm. Back and forth to describe the confrontation from last week.
Yeah, And I don't, and I think he has, I don't know if Roe has apologized. Kiefer later said in his nomination that he didn't believe him. I don't really know how much you can weigh that, but I did like in this conversation, and I always love it when like you get into a fight with someone and they become HOH and you have to like kiss their ass. And like, I know we just were arguing with each other and I didn't like you, but you know, I would never put you up. I would never want you out of this game. You know, mm-hmm. You're my bro. And I always love that type of dynamic, but I know Kiefer doesn't get that much love, but I like that Kiefer like was like, yo, like I didn't appreciate that, you know, kind of like waddling his finger at Ro and being like, no, you talked to me disrespectfully, you talked to me aggressively, you yelled, you screamed, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I enjoyed the side of Kiefer putting his foot down and being like, nah, this is how I feel about you, and you know, I'm going to tell you, and this is why you're up. I liked it.
Well, I thought it was interesting how he said. Originally in his conversation with him, he said like apologies and Big Brother are the same thing as promises.
He said sorries are just as valuable as promises in this game.
They don't mean anything.
Just as valuable as promises in this game. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Taryn.
But then at the end, he goes and says, I didn't feel your apology was genuine. No. And it's like, but and then he says to like, they said to Kyle, like, I felt like your apology was genuine. So like, if it doesn't mean anything, then like, why bring up whether it was genuine or not if you don't care about apologies? It just seemed like it was weird that he like at one point was like, it doesn't mean anything to me, but also it should be genuine.
I think he was trying to say that Ro's apology was just as valuable as Ro's promises, which are both of which are not valuable. Because he did appreciate Kyle's apology. He felt like Kyle's apology was genuine. Not feel like Rose was.
But okay. He said that he felt like apologies and promises in Big Brother. It sounded like he was saying in Big Brother generally, not just.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Kiefer would also probably say that not all promises are not valuable, right?
Well, Taryn, in your experience, what is more valuable in Big Brother, sorries or promises?
Promises.
Promises more valuable than sorries. Okay. So Kiefer is wrong.
Yeah, I would say Kiefer's wrong.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, Jacob, would you rather have a sorry or a promise?
TBH, because I kind of like people to grovel at my feet a little bit. And so I think I want to reach for a sorry. Like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Even though I think I would want a sorry just to feed me, you know?
Yeah. But a sorry means you would have already been wronged.
Well, yeah,
like a promise doesn't necessarily mean that you've been wronged. It means that they're going to like do something.
Many times I've gotten a sorry after somebody has already promised that they're not going to do the thing that they're sorry for.
Right. And I feel like a proper sorry is a promise, right? Like it's a promise that you are actually sorry and that you won't do it again, right? Whereas just a sorry with no promise is just an empty sorry of like, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that this situation.
Do you
is
promise
here
you're
right
not going to do it again?
Well, no. This is not a promise. It's a sorry. So
sorry, you don't get both.
You can just go that one now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But something in this conversation that I really appreciated was I think Ro has a difficult time emotionally connecting because Ro is a matter of fact type of player and a person. Yeah. And I feel like that can stifle his connections with the other side a lot. But something that I liked, but I think it's hard to cover up now, was his outlook saying like, hey, I want to talk to Kiefer alone, not with Kyle, to try to give off that, oh, we don't do everything together. Even though at this point, it's kind of hard to give that illusion once you, you know, you go two man deep into a conversation and, you know, a confrontation. But I like that mind of Ro at that moment of like, I want to try to differentiate myself against Kyle just so, you know, I have a better shot of not going up on the block.
All right. Well, he's going to go up on the block. Ro and Kyle are going up on the block. So Cairo, is that what we're, do they have a shipping name?
I think that's their name. Yeah.
Yeah. People use that. Yeah.
Okay. They are up on the block, and that's Kiefer's HOH. All right. Take a couple of questions, and then let's talk about updates from the day. Okay. Let's take this question here. This is from, Naked Taryn. You don't approve of this, right?
Oh, boy.
Should I even read this question? Yeah.
Oh, it's the Among Us. Okay. I get it.
All right. But how much time do people have on their hands to make a Twitter handle?
There's a lot of Taryn
yes.
burner accounts, apparently.
I don't think it's Taryn's burner account.
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Taryn's like, I have a question for Rob.
Yes. Okay. This is me without all of my trappings. I can finally be free. Since when did they start using a cheap Broadway-style spotlight for the HOH's Walk to the Nomination Ceremony? This season, and we love it.
Spotlights aren't cheap.
Yeah, we like it. We like it. And they got rid of the short list. So
honestly, I prefer it over the short list. Yeah. I did not like the short list. It was just long and drawn out and boring. Yeah.
Everything's better.
It's like, yeah, fine. Just let them walk down the stairs.
Taryn. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Get dressed. Taryn, honestly,
put some clothes on.
That was a bad take, Taryn. You didn't need take. To. I think that's why he was like, I can't say this on the podcast. I have to. This has to be written only.
In fairness, Taryn likes naked yogurt. Naked French fries. So
that is not how I would describe it, actually.
A reference to.
He just loves naked things.
No, toppings, no dressing.
I feel like if you said a plain person, you would not assume that meant that they were naked.
Yeah, if a person, how do you like your people? Completely plain. There's nothing on it.
Exactly.
That's code.
Nothing on them, nothing covering them. Account.
All right, Maria. So do apologies mean nothing in Big Brother, or are they the reason you're put on the block? I'm confused.
Yeah, see, that's what I said.
Yeah, look, it's going for something.
That's my burner account.
He's going for dramatic. Not everybody can be, a spicy V on their HOH, all right? Kiefer's, trying to give you something. All right. Anyway, one more question. Let's see. Trevor wants to know, what are your thoughts on wearing hats indoors? Is this a thing? Did this come up in the episode?
I feel generally positive about it.
Yeah. I feel like we see a lot of hats on Big Brother Canada.
A big part of any Big Brother season is wearing hats.
Yeah.
Bandanas, hats.
If you have a bucket hat, that's where we draw the line. See, a regular hat is, it's good. But when you put a bucket hat on, that's when I'm like, those are not allowed indoors or outdoors or anywhere.
Did somebody have a bucket hat?
Well, Ollie
just saw a person walking down the street, and Ollie had one. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, people tend to get up in arms about like the hats or sunglasses, but it's something you have to understand about the house is that there are very harsh bright lights on you all the time. Yeah. So, if you need to wear a bucket hat, go for it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Plus, like sunglasses would be helpful game wise as well. That way you can't really see any emotions necessarily.
Yeah, but then you also can't bond. You can't make that eye contact. You know,
that's true.
Very true as well.
Sure. But you can do the dramatic sort of like.
Like I'm telling you the truth.
I like that.
All right. So, are we ready to get into the live feed spoilers from today? Anything else from tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada? No.
I think we're good.
Okay. All right, we are looking good. So let's get into talking about what's coming up on this on the live feeds. If you are going to leave us now, be sure to check us out on Wednesday night for the 7 p.m. episode. And then Big Brother Canada has shifted now. The Thursday show is at 9 o'clock. So it's the only show. It used to be on three time slots, and now it's down to only 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's a spicy V in the schedule. It's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Before we get to the live feeds, let me take a moment and thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it's hard work, but it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Spoiler time. Taryn, we had our veto ceremony on a proper Monday like it should be this week.
Yes, we did. And, the House, they really tried it. They wanted it. They tried
to send the Rose Show out the dodo.
No,
but they couldn't
no go
get the Rose Show out the dodo Because he won that veto.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
And he took himself off the blocko.
Blocko.
The blow.
Mm-hmm. With the veto. Okay. All right.
Yep.
So what was the competition?
I don't know. Actually.
Okay. All right. We'll find out. Find out on one sec. All right. So Ro coming down. Who's coming up?
Austin.
Okay.
As a pawn.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
This is going to be the situation where my third and final draft person goes out in a row.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm so bad.
Is Austin in danger?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. Things have really come around on Kyle and Ro here. Kyle in particular, he's on the block. As of right now, everyone plans on sending Kyle home. I've talked about this on the updates, but basically, in order for Kyle to stay, Ty, Jed, and Beth would need to flip.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, Jed, Beth, and Kiefer would need to flip all together, essentially. And that just seems very unlikely at this point. They're all pretty firmly in the camp to evict Kyle. Ty, Jed, and Beth have all come around to the idea that Kyle needs to go. They still want Austin out eventually, but for right now, it's Kyle. I would say chances are pretty low that things flip. I would say lower than, you know, the odds that the Toya had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jacob, do you think that if Kyle is gone, that we might see the Rohan that we once believed would be a part of this season?
No, I don't. I mean, if we were to see it, we would have saw it after that fight that he had with Kiefer out of the storage room. But that, like, it was, you know, it went kind of like a little chaotic. But I think Ro has like a good heart, and I'm not saying people who are like, you know, that, you know, chaotic king don't, but I feel like I don't think he has it in him. I would like to believe. I'm hopeful. I'm a dreamer. I'm hoping, but I don't think so. I think we're going to get the same.
Plus, yeah, I don't think it's that like Kyle's holding him back or anything. Mm-hmm. Like I think if anything, they're good together in terms of strategy wise, entertainment wise, maybe not. But, you know, I don't think that Kyle's hindering Ro's game, and that once he's like freed from the shackles of Kyle or something, that he'll like fly or whatever. No, like I don't necessarily see that. I mean, honestly, like he might actually end up doing better just because he'll be by himself and he's not going to be seen as like that big duo anymore. But at the same time, like, I don't necessarily see him, you know, I mean, it really depends. He might end up being, you know, the king of the season and everyone's going to love him. But like,
king of the season,
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't really seen it yet.
Strategically, Kyle has shown, I think, more promise. Socially, Kyle has shown a little more promise. So it's one of these weird situations where I think that he's going to be in a worse place because he won't have Kyle to bounce things off of. He won't have Kyle to be sort of the social glue that helps him get in with people. But because Kyle is leaving, his target level, his threat level will go down. And in a house where nobody is able to keep themselves safe through strategy alone and position is king, this is actually going to be a huge benefit to his game, I think.
Okay.
Look. And I think when we look at Ro's confessionals, even when he's by himself with the camera in front, you know, I don't really know the specific setups, all we get is a nub. When I'm looking for like the whole damn hand of personality to come out. And so I just don't get that much out of his confessionals either. So I'm like, what can I expect for more for you to do, you know? And so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ro is all business when he talks to people. Part of what's gone down, especially with this veto ceremony, is that Vic has been turned against Kyle and Ro because Kiefer led Kyle and Ro into the trap of saying Vic's name, then said it to Vic, and now Vic is pissed at Kyle and Ro. She went off at them at the veto ceremony. Apparently, Kyle did the same thing that Beth did and was like, all right, Vic, and he walked off. But they talked after the veto ceremony, and Kyle was like, look, I know I'm going home, but here's the thing. We were told that it was either Vic or I go home. And so, yes, we said Vic, but I apologize. Like, it was a mistake. Kyle was like full on, like, I have nothing to gain from this emotional conversation. I was in tears thinking that I was throwing you under the bus. I almost wanted to self-evict. And then Ro is standing next to her, like, in her ear. And he's like, Yes, and the thing is that you are screwed in this game if you don't work with me. You can't trust those boys. And then Kyle would be like, we just love you so much, Vic. I'm just so sorry about it. And he's like, yeah, and you just really need to understand that you can't work with, you need to work with me. You are now my number one from now on. That's what's happening right now. And I had to choose him because he was my number one, but now you're my number one. It's like, bro, just take a breath. Take a breath. Take the emotional approach. You're acting like you're in a business meeting right now, except you're also whispering in somebody's ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you only whisper when you're going to ask for a trampoline in the Big Brother house. The only good time to, yeah, only good time to do whispering. All right.
Trampoline.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that's hot at the moment, Taryn?
I mean, obviously, Victoria. It's always
spicy. Yeah, spicy. Spicy is even hotter than hot.
Yeah, it's double hot.
Yeah,
you got to grab that milk.
Okay.
This is a lot of stuff going around, but you know, a lot of talk of like, who are we targeting? Who should you target? Who should where are all the targets going? But at the end of the day, we still kind of got a split house. You got Tina and Tara. Austin and Brayden all kind of going after the Ty, Jed, Beth people and Kiefer now. And you've got not Tina and Tara going after Kiefer, but they would go after Ty and Jed. And then you've got Ty, Jed, and Beth kind of going after like Austin and maybe Tina and Tara to some degree. And then you've got sort of Vic, who is a very easy person for anybody to put up on the block right now, but she is kind of very heavily leaning toward the Ty, Jed, Beth side of things. Mm-hmm. But you know, that probably depends on who wins power next week. And so really what it comes down to is which side wins HOH next week, and then which person within that side wins HOH, because they've all got like individual people that they kind of want to protect.
Okay. Melissa, anything else you want to add to Big Brother Canada 9 before the round table tomorrow night?
No, not particularly. I mean, I guess I am disappointed, I guess, as to the fact that it does seem that Jed and Ty aren't seeing Kiefer. I guess I'm just disappointed because I came into this when Kiefer won HOH and I saw them all hugging and I was thinking like, okay, now we've got this strong side and now the pendulum has switched and now we've got, you know, this strong side coming after this other strong side. And now it's just all kind of broken up again. And you know, I love like the broken two side of the house mm-hmm. situation in Big Brother. So it was gearing up to me to be kind of like, okay, now we have the Sunsetters win. Now we have the Oddballs win. And it kind of was going to go back and forth. And that was my hope. You know, there's still very, very fun, exciting things that can be like coming out of this, but it feels like we've kind of already lost the split house thing already. So yeah. It's a little disappointing for me, but you know, I am excited to see where it goes because, you know, there isn't just one giant alliance, thank God. And there's not just like one or two super smart people running the table. I think that everybody's kind of on an even playing field. And I think that's the best situation you can find yourself in it when you're watching Big Brother, because it could really go any direction, and yeah. I think that's the best part.
Yeah, I do think that what's really interesting about this season is the potential fluidity of it all. And Taryn, like, based on who wins the HOH, like, I rewatched Survivor Game Changers a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, Zeke had a quote about how, like, that he felt like that the deck reshuffled after every tribal council in that season. I wonder, based on like where the power goes, like if some of these pairs could end up shifting in different alignments based on who the next HOH is.
100%. And I don't think that the entire house will reshift every week. I think the two sides will basically have the same sorts of functions. You've got Thruple on one side. You've got you know, whatever the oddballs were, Carb, whatever remnants mm-hmm. exist there, plus Tina and Tara probably on the other side. But individual sort of like standing, and then, you know, the fact that pairs are going to probably be targeted until there aren't many pairs left. I really is a little bit more Survivor-like, where I think this season is going to be, you know, whoever's head stands out the tallest will get it shaved off. And then the next one, and then the next one, and from there on, you know.
Another good Survivor parallel could be like a Blood versus Water, where you know, you see you know, Tyson and Monica and Jervis lost their partners early on and ended up working together because they didn't have their partner in the game, and that ends up getting them really far into the game. So I think there's
that's what should happen. Yeah. But we have people like Kiefer maybe a little too loyal to some of the remaining pairs, right?
Yeah,
agreed.
Jacob, what about for you? Anything else you want to add tonight?
I think hopefully, you know, I think my, to echo all your points, I just want to see more game out of Austin and Brayden, because I feel like they have it, and I feel like we've been on the cusp of some like really good stuff, but I just feel like we haven't seen specifically Brayden in that gamer type. We see him being very social with everyone, but I just am really rooting for a strategic move, and just for him to, like, he's playing the game, but to it to be turned up a little bit. And so that's, you know, my only comment.
Yeah, Brayden had an offer on the episode tonight, right? Did we even see Brayden once?
I went into the Expedia room,
but I'll tell you, those costumes do a lot for you. Like, it's like, oh, the bingo ball. Oh my god, I love Brayden. But yeah, he had the purple edit tonight. All right, okay. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Robin's podcast, and of course, it looks like Tuesday morning, Taryn is going to be live with Chantel Francis for the Tuesday live feed update. Catch that out, I don't know what that was supposed to be. Catch up.
Out.
Yeah. Catch me outside with Taryn and Chantel.
How about that?
Yeah. On Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Okay. And then the roundtable is back. Taryn, the voice of the people, and Amon Adwin will be ready to go on Tuesday night. Let's check in with Melissa's portfolio tomorrow.
Oh my God. You don't want to know. You do not want to know what I've done. I just can't get it right.
All right. Nobody said it was easy. All right. Oh, yes, Taryn.
This is my year.
Yes. All right. That's what everybody says. All right. Taryn, what's coming up on Wednesday night?
On Wednesday night, the lion himself, the great white shark, Anthony Douglas, will be joining us to talk about the Wednesday night episode. Asia will be there as well. So we've got a great, great panel here to talk about the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother.
Yeah, mark your calendar. You don't want to miss that one live. 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night with Anthony. Of course, then later on Wednesday, we will drop on you our 29th best season. Of course, this past Wednesday, I talked about the 30th best season of all time. This went on to be the longest podcast in the history of Rob's podcast. We talked about Survivor Karen Mullen with Ali Lasher and Akiva Whitaker last Wednesday, and the stage is set. We've talked about Cochran's second game. We're ready to talk about Cochran's first game in Survivor South Pacific. Talk about Cochran and Sophie and Coach and Dawn and Brandon and everybody with Beth Dixon and Brian Scally on Wednesday night, so be on the lookout for that. My favorite Beth, Beth Dixon, coming up on Wednesday. If you missed it, Melissa, were you a fan of Beauty and the Geek?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. I love that show so much.
Melissa loves all these classic shows.
I do.
Beauty and the Geek. Chappelle and I have been watching different shows this month on the RJP Rewind, one episode. And this past week, we watched the premiere of Beauty and the Geek season one with Jenny Autumn. Had a lot of fun.
You need to watch the makeover episode.
The makeover episode? Why?
That's the best one.
Yeah.
They make over the guys, and then some of them end up being really attractive, and then they fall in love with their beauties. And it's like so fun to see the romance. And oh, man, what a good show. So fun.
Okay. All right, check that out. That's on the RJP Rewind. Of course, lots of great stuff going on. We had our patron activities this past week. Christian Hubicki co-hosted with Puya Zambakili this round of Patron Mafia this past Friday night. Mike Bloom will be back for another patron Brant Steele coming up this Friday, of course, in addition to our patron 5 for 5, our weekly patron feedback show for the all-time rankings and much more in our patron podcast feed, all at robisawebsite.com/patron. And if you ever want to catch up with any of the offers you hear on the podcast, go to robiswebsite.com/offers to check out all the ways that you could save by supporting our sponsors. And of course, check out our social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter or RHAP Grams on Instagram. Okay. And of course, if you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe and that bell so you get notified when Taryn goes live with more live feed updates. All right, Jacob, what's coming up for you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Must have something going on.
It's not hitting me now.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
Well, I wanna go to New York.
Mm-hmm. Why? What are you gonna do in New York?
Well, I was supposed to go. I had a shoot back in January, but it got mm-hmm. canceled. And so I want to just go back for.
Why? What do you shoot?
People. People shoot me.
Yes, you're a model.
I take photos. I take photos.
Wow.
for people.
Yes.
And so that's what something I was wanting to go back and do. But haven't booked me again. But other than that, I just be chilling, you know, on my Twitter, mm-hmm. and just should be having fun, you know.
Okay. And what do you model?
I mean, it depends on the brand.
Okay.
But
he's a pool model, Rob.
I'm a pool model.
He's yes. a pool model. That's why this whole thing, it all comes
exactly,
back around.
Exactly, yo. That's it. But fashion blogs and clothes and stuff like that. And So it depends on what my agency books me for. But yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is incredible. Jacob Jones, everybody.
Trendsetter.
Yes. All right, and Melissa, we know you're going to be back tomorrow night for the Roundtable podcast. What else is going on?
Nothing really. I last week did a podcast for Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me.
Yes.
Where we talked about Mary-Kate and Ashley. And yes. I know I've been like touting that, but like,
how long was that podcast?
Like 2 hours.
Oh, I thought,
I thought that it was
maybe I just I mixed up what a great guest you were with how long of a podcast it was that you're so because you're so knowledgeable about the Olsen twins.
Was it that long? I don't know. Yeah. It might have been long. I didn't check the time.
Of the
but
doesn't matter.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
length doesn't matter.
Sorry.
It's fine.
I'm sorry.
No, honestly, it was very, very, very fun. We talked about everything Mary-Kate and Ashley. There was a little bit of singing involved. I don't know,
but nice.
You know. So yeah, definitely check that out.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that's basically what I've been up to.
Okay. All right. And of course, Taryn, we know that where we can find you every morning with Taryn Armstrong. I say, you know, I sing the song when I listen to your live feed updates.
Well, Rob, record it and then we can use it the next time we have a morning update.
Why don't we just use the regular song?
Well, we can go back to the regular song, but I think if we had a special intro from Rob singing
the
song.
If I sing it karaoke?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll send it to you.
All right. Okay. There we go.
All right. Yes.
And here's the thing. You guys will not know when I'm going to drop this. So you have to listen to every single update and wait for the Rob special
right.
Rob
I'll
intro.
I'll record it right after this.
The Rob all right. exclusive.
Right, make sure you subscribe to the BB podcast feed so you don't miss it.
Okay. Sounds good.
What's coming up for you, Taryn?
So yes, updates, the roundtable tomorrow. I'm covering the Circle Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Circle has been very fun there in the UK. They would lose their minds if there was a dog gender announcement there in the Circle. They're all big dog people. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun. You can also, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Season 4 of Fall Guys just came out, and I've been playing it. I played a little bit of it today, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm trying to get good at that game. It's very fun. I'm enjoying it a lot, and so I just talk feeds while I play.
Okay.
We win some crowns.
All right, win those crowns. All right. So thank you so much for joining us again here on a Monday night. I've been having so much fun, and this was no exception. Here tonight. Of course, be sure to be back for the live feed update and the roundtable coming up on Tuesday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.